Today we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent, where Christ enters into the wilderness to fast. We celebrate not only his temptation and his fasting, but ultimately his victory over temptation. And you and I pattern our Lenten fast after that of Christ, at least in spirit. We fast because our Lord and Master fasted. Now, the event of the temptation happened in the desert of Israel near the Dead Sea, which was closer to Jericho than it was to Jerusalem. Some of you perhaps have been to the Dead Sea. It's an amazing thing to see, and even more amazing to get into the water as you float around. It's incredible. Of course, I made the mistake when I went for the first time of having shaved in the morning, and I had razor blade cuts on my face. And you can imagine getting into the salty water. Oh, it burned. But that's where Jesus went to do his fasting. And if you notice, in all three of the temptations, the devil begins by saying, "If you are the Son of God." The devil was not given knowledge of who Christ was in his divinity. He could make a guess, but he never had certainty. And it's interesting that he would question the divine sonship of Jesus, because this event immediately followed his baptism. And the devil would have heard the voice of the Father echoing down from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the devil heard that voice, but he still doubted, because he couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, would enter into poverty, and such weakness is the lot of the human race. But Christ goes nonetheless, and he contends with the devil, showing you and I that temptation is a normal part of the Christian life, and that we must arm ourselves with prayer and fasting and with the Word of God. St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to all mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." St. Augustine, reflecting on it, wrote this, "O Christian, when you are tempted, recognize that a crown is being prepared for you. Take away the contests of the martyrs, and you take away their crown. Take away the torments of the martyrs, and you take away their beatitude. Is not the temptation of Joseph the celebration of his virtue? Is not the wrong of his prison the crowning of his chastity?" If you remember in the Old Testament, the patriarch Joseph, who found favor with the Pharaoh in Egypt. And Joseph had been tempted by the wife of one of the rulers of Egypt, a beautiful woman, and he refused to violate her and was imprisoned for it on false accusations. The scriptures sing the praises of Joseph because he overcame the sting of temptation and was willing to suffer for what was good. So what can you and I learn from the three temptations of our Lord Jesus? Well, many things. In the first temptation, Christ is tempted to turn the stones into loaf of bread. He's hungry. The fact that Christ is not eating and is hungry should make us think of Adam in the garden, because Christ in his fasting is clearly making atonement for the sin of Adam, who took the fruit of the forbidden tree and ate it. And of course, through his holy fasting, Jesus is also making atonement for all sins of gluttony from all time. And the lie that the devil is trying to convince him with this temptation is basically this: your father has failed to take care of you, to nourish you in these 40 days in the desert. So now take care of yourself and turn those loaves, those stones into a loaf of bread. And yet Christ responds, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Christ himself is the word in which we must be nourished, brothers and sisters. Of course, he nourishes us through the sacred word in the scriptures as we meditate on his word. But he also nourishes us as the word in the word made flesh in the Holy Eucharist. It's interesting to think about the reception of the word of God through Holy Communion. Because how often do you and I receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ, and yet feel as if we walk away unchanged? Feel as if how come we receive God himself into us, we continue on the same path of sin, and we face the same temptations and difficulties? Well, the reason is because we can receive communion in the state of grace without receiving it fruitfully. Because even in the reception of the Eucharist, of Christ himself, we can truly receive God in the state of grace, and yet one doesn't live on bread alone. It's not enough just to receive the bread, the Eucharist, but one must live on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so that challenges us in our reception of communion to really pray heart to heart with Jesus, to enter into a deep dialogue and deep communion with him in that moment, that his presence can change us and his love can sanctify and transform us. The second temptation that Jesus faces is to worship Satan. Basically, what the devil is saying is, if you are the Son of God, then I know what you've come for. You've come to take away what belongs to me. And he says, don't fight me. Don't go to the cross. But if you fall down and worship me, I'll simply give you what you've come to take. The lie that he tries to convince Jesus of is that he can save us without going through the cross, that he can avoid the path of suffering. And the Lord knows, no, that is not my Father's plan. That is not my Father's will. Because the cross will reveal my glory and my love for mankind. And I will defeat you on a tree just as you defeated the human race on the tree in the garden. How often in our own lives, the reason we sin is because we don't want to suffer in choosing what is good, but rather take the easy path. This last week, we buried my spiritual father, a priest who was very dear to me, Monsignor Michael Glenn, probably the priest that's made the biggest impact on my life and on my ministry as a priest. And it was a very hard day on Thursday to attend his funeral and his burial. But Monsignor Michael Glenn, he suffered with brain cancer for 5 years. And as he started his treatment down in Houston, he started with 10 other individuals who had the same cancer that he had. And within the first 6 weeks, he was the only one of the 10 still living. God spared his life by a miracle that he could suffer for 5 more years. And all of us who visited Monsignor Michael in hospice, in the hospital, in the nursing homes, he was kind of all over the place, we saw in him a willingness to suffer. And he kept saying, brother, The Lord's kept me here to suffer because he takes my suffering and he applies it for the salvation of souls. He knew the gospel. He knew the value of redemptive suffering, and he suffered with grace and with dignity and with joy, but ultimately he suffered united deeply to Jesus crucified. He's one of the holiest priests I've ever met. But he's a modern-day example of suffering in union with Christ. The third temptation that Jesus was given was to throw yourself down from the heights of the temple. Interesting, because if he was standing at the height of the temple, directly beneath that would have been the court of the priests and the Holy of Holies. It would have been the place where the sacrifice to God was being offered. And so what the devil is telling him is, if you really are the Son of God, then what belongs to you is the worship that's happening here in the temple. Go claim it for yourself, because it's yours. And make a spectacle that men might sing your praises. And yet God has never been interested in showing spectacles. God doesn't come to wow us, but to woo us. His hiddenness is part of who he is because his omnipotence would overwhelm us. And so Christ refuses because he knew that it was through the pride of Lucifer and the pride of Adam and Eve that we fell. And it would only be through humility that the sin of mankind could be defeated on the tree of a cross. And so he refused pride and chose the humble path. Brothers and sisters, you and I are called to walk the path with Christ in the midst of our temptations. When we feel overwhelmed by temptations, to pull our strength from Christ himself, to arm ourselves with prayer and fasting and with the sacred scripture. Because Christ assures us that when we graft ourselves onto him, we will be victorious in him. Praise be Jesus Christ.